Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that dwells in us. Father, open your word to us. Reveal yourself to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Starting a new year. And I had planned to go this is something that's going to take up at least two Sundays, but I planned to go in a completely different direction than we're going today. But I was just doing it in my regular reading, not preparing for Sunday, and I found something that I was like, wait a minute, there's something important there. And what we're going to be talking about, and I think it really applies to this being a new year, is we're going to talk about, probably don't need that. Y'all need that anymore? We're going to be talking about God's will, God's specific will, and more importantly, knowing God's will for my life. And the reason I bring that up is because I hear it so much. We hear that all the time, and you really hear it beginning of the year. You hear it anytime any type of decisions are going on. But everybody, what's God's will for my life? I need to know God's will for this. I need to know God's will for that. And in Christian circles, especially, there's this thing of, well, before I do this or before I do that, I gotta know what God's will is, right? Well, really, I've got three things here we'll talk about this week, and then we will look at a more modern example of God's will, kind of taking what's in the Bible and moving it forward into more modern times. But I've got three things for you to consider here when we're discussing the will of God, and specifically knowing God's will for my life. So how can I know what God's will is for my life? Well, really, it's not rocket science. It's really very easy, okay? The first thing is, to know God's will for my life, I have to know God's Word. And I'm not talking about generalized the will of God. I'm talking specifically. What is the specific will that God has for me, my life, today, in whatever situation is coming up? Well, the first thing is, I must know God's Word. God's Word contains specific instructions for me at this time, right now. Okay? If I do not know God's Word, and when I say know God's Word, I don't mean know God's Word as in I've got everything here memorized and in my head. Because there are plenty of people who have this memorized in their head and they have no idea what God's will is. Okay, but when I say know God's will, I mean know, and know God's Word is know God's Word as in it's in me and working through me. I'm following it. Okay? And we'll get... And here's just a few, because every verse in there is going to pertain to His will in some way. But let's look at a few things here. 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 22 and 24. Now this is, remember, here's a good example. King Saul had been given a specific word to him from God, right? So in this situation, Samuel's given specific direction by God to go do something. We can say that's God's specific will for that situation, okay? And he did not follow that specific instruction, right? Well, if he had just had been living the word through him, that automatically would have happened, because Samuel says to him in verses 22 to 24, Samuel said, "Does Adonai delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of Adonai? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to pay heed better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. Since you have rejected Adonai's word, he also has rejected you." Go to Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah 7. Come on, Jeremiah, where are you? Jeremiah 7, verses 21 through 24. Thus says Adonai Sabaoth, the God of Israel. Adonai Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the meat. Basically what God's saying right there is just take your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and you just eat them. Okay? And eat the meat. For on the day that I brought your fathers out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to them, nor did I command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I explicitly commanded them, obey my voice, and I will be your God to you, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways that I command you, that it may go well with you. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed their own counsel and the stubbornness of their evil heart. They have gone backward and not forward. And there's a good point in that right there. Backwards and not forward. You are never stagnant in your faith.
True.
You're never still. You're either going towards God or you're going away from God. You're either maturing in your faith or you're digressing in your faith. You're either becoming stronger in faith or weaker in faith. There's no, I'm just kind of at this point where nothing's happening. Something is always happening. You're always moving in one direction or the other. No one's at a standstill. Better or worse. More mature or less mature. Towards God or away from God. Okay? Psalm 51. And I love Psalm 51. You know what? Before anyone ever came up with this, what we call the sinner's prayer, there was Psalm 51. Psalm 51 says it better than anyone can. But the Psalm 51, you should read all of Psalm 51 this week if you get a chance. But Psalm 51 verses 18 and 19, for you would not delight in sacrifice or would give it, or I would give it, nor be pleased by burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Micah 6, 8. Micah 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what Adonai is seeking from you. Only to practice justice, to love mercy, and that word is mercy is hesed. It's also interpreted as loving kindness. When it's referred, when hesed is used in relationship to God, it's always translated as loving kindness. Like his loving kindness endures forever. His hesed. Okay, only to practice justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verses 14 through 22. We urge you, brothers and sisters, correct the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Is, before I go any further, is the New Testament the Word of God?
Yes.
Okay. And it was written down by the direction of the Holy Spirit, just like the prophets wrote in the New Testament, right? Okay, so a command in the New Testament is the same as a command in the Old Testament, right?
Yep.
They're both the words of God, right? Okay, so this is a command of God. Okay? We urge you, brothers and sisters, correct the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic messages, but test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Keep away from every kind of evil. Okay, so here we have just a few examples of what God's will is for us, okay? God's will is, we see in 1 Samuel, in Jeremiah, in Psalms, and in Micah, is to what? Well, it's to obey God. Okay? Obey what you know. If you know God has said this, then do that. That is His will. In fact, He compares it. He says He doesn't delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. Well, put that in our everyday language. I don't care how spiritual you're going to act. Do what I said. That's what He was saying to them. And in First Thessalonians, we hear not only is it to obey God, but to specifically do these things, right? Just like He said in Micah, to love mercy. God's will for me is to do what He has told me to do. I need not worry too much about the things He hasn't told me to do. What I need to worry about is the things He has told me to do. I can spend all day long going over the things He's told me to do. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but we'll just have a little bit of time. If I do what I know God has told me to do, then wherever I find myself, I can be used by God, and I am in His will. Let me give you an example. You see this with people a lot, especially younger people, but you see it with older people too. Well, I need to know what God's will is for me. You know, high school kids. They're graduating, they're going to go off. I need to know what God's will is for me to go to college. I need to know where God wants me to go. Because, you know, if I go to the wrong place, then God's not going to use me. And, you know, He's got somebody out there for me, and I ain't going to meet him if I go to the wrong place. And I need to know God's will. And blah, 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 blah. You know what? If you are doing what God has told you to do in His Word, then whatever spot you find yourself in the world, you're in God's will, and He can use you. And you are where you need to be to do what He has for you to do. I'll go so far as to even say, if you follow God's word, whoever you marry is fine with God, as long as you did it following God's word.
True. Amen.
God's not going to say, well, you know, if you'd have just gone over here, that's the one I had for you, and now you're stuck with this. No, if you follow God's word, you follow God's word. No, it wasn't you. It was the vacant spot over here. If you follow God's word, you are where you're supposed to be. And you're doing, and He can use you to do what He's got to work. Okay, so number one, know God's word. Not just in your head, but be walking it out. This will save us a lot of heartache. Because if you do not know God's word, then and I don't care what kind of feeling you had, or who laid hands on you, or who spoke a word over you, or anything else, you won't know the voice of God, no matter how tingly it feels, if you don't know the word of God. Because a person who doesn't know the Word of God can get fooled day in and day out. And the devil never comes to you like this, fire billowing and red.
With a tail?
Yeah, and a tail and a pitchfork and screaming at you and scaring you to death.
No.
That's not how he shows up. You've got to know this Word. So that's number one. Number two, not everything hard is punishment, and not everything easy is a reward. And that's biblical. Not everything that's hard is punishment, and not everything that's easy is a reward. And I'm going to give you some biblical examples that we don't have time to read over, but you can go back and look at them this week. Not everything that's hard is punishment, not everything is easy is a reward. Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Joseph did not have things very easy. Was Joseph being punished? You know that Joseph is the only person in the Bible where nothing is ever said about him doing anything wrong? Everybody else, you see they're good and they're bad. Nothing's ever said, well, Joseph shouldn't have done this or shouldn't have done that. I mean, Joseph wasn't perfect, I know. But Joseph never did anything that was brought up of, well, he shouldn't have done that or shouldn't have. Joseph, when he was attacked by his brothers, he wasn't being punished by God. God wasn't punishing him. When he was thrown in the hole, he wasn't being punished. He hadn't done anything to be punished over. God was not displeased with him. When he was sold off into slavery and ended up in Egypt, God was not displeased with him. Okay? On the other hand, Potiphar's wife lived in a very nice place, had servants and everything else. I'm not too sure that God was pleased with her and was blessing her because she was just such a great person. Okay? I don't think she was being rewarded for what she did. David and King Saul. Was David being punished? Was God punishing David? No. Was Saul being rewarded by God because God was so pleased with Saul?
No.
Okay. Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel is hauled off with the rest of the exiles, but Daniel's a righteous man. Okay? Daniel's not being punished, but he's let off. But Daniel hasn't done anything wrong. Had Nebuchadnezzar done anything great for God that made him the king of the known world at the time? No. Okay. Mordecai and Haman. Did Mordecai upset God? Did Mordecai do something wrong? God was punishing him? How about Haman? Had Haman been worshiping God and following God, so now Haman's being elevated to the second guy in the kingdom by Ahasuerus? No. Okay. Jesus and Barabbas. Let's get into the New Testament. Did Jesus do anything to upset God? No. No. Was Barabbas being rewarded for being such a great guy when he got let go and the Lord took his place? No. Okay. So first thing we have to get into our minds is not everything hard that happens to us is punishment. And not everything that is easy that looks great is a reward. The reason that's important is because we can get so off track and think, I must be out of God's will. God must be punishing me for something based on our circumstance. I can also get, when my bank account's full and everything's going well and I got what I wanted for Christmas and the sun's shining and everything's great, I can also always say, well, God must be pleased with me. Look at how he's blessing me. Ain't nothing going on wrong in my life. And completely be disregarding the will of God. Okay? The two do not always go together. Yes, God will correct those he loves.
Yes.
I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. But it's not a hard, fast rule that every time something comes down the pike that is unpleasant is because I've done something wrong. And every time things are pleasant doesn't necessarily mean I've done something right. I may be so useless to God that the devil doesn't even pay attention to me. Yeah, that's a bad place to be. Sometimes the worst thing that can happen to me is the thing that looks like the best thing. Okay? So my circumstances don't always have something to do with my relationship with God and don't necessarily mean that I'm not within the will of God. Joseph was within the will of God. God was using him to deliver a people. Right? Daniel was within the will of God. God used Daniel to bless to show his power in an ungodly land. Okay? Mordecai was within God's will, and God used him greatly. and we don't have enough to go to Jesus. Okay? Life's not about me. And that's the thing. When it comes to thinking about God's will, it's not about me, it's about Him. Number three, we're part of the kingdom. And it's a kingdom, not a servantdom. Okay? It's a kingdom, not a servantdom. That means the focus in kingdom is on the king, not the servants, not the subjects of the king. The subjects serve the king. Right? So the will of the king has to do with the king and the kingdom, not the specific servants in it. Which means some servants will suffer for the kingdom. Some will not. But it has nothing to do with them specifically as much as it has to do with the king and the kingdom. And this is where things get very difficult, because of we are centered on us. Okay? Think of it like a movie. Okay? Everybody really kind of thinks of their life as like a movie, and I'm the star of my movie. I'm the star of my life. When actually the star, I'm part of his movie. He is the star, and I'm a supporting actor in it. Now my place as a supporting actor may be the guy that 3 minutes into the movie gets blown up. I may be at the end of it when the king comes back into glory and it's a happy ending and everything's great. I may be one of those guys riding in with the king and right there, and everybody's like, yay, 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 and I get to celebrate. The point is, the guy that blew up 10 minutes into the movie, serving the king, and the guy that rides in with the king at the end when everything is made right, both of them served a purpose. They served a purpose for the king. One is not better than the other. Both of them had their place. And that's how I have to look at my life. It's not, this is the movie, it's my life, I'm the main character, and God rides in to support me. He's a supporting character, where He comes in to make my life great. So that when I get to the end of my movie and my life is great, and I won. I made it. I won. God got me here. Thank God He showed up and rode in and made my life great. That sounds silly, right? It really sounds silly.
It's reasonable.
But that's kind of how we slip into it.
Yeah.
We don't want to say it.
But it's true.
Really, but we slip into that because we focus on our... It's part of the sin in us. What I just described right there is pride.
Yep.
It's what caused the fall. It's what we're born with because we are born into sin. It's what we've been saved from, but we're still trying to get out of us as we mature and move on towards Him. I have to constantly be fighting that, because that old man wants to pop back up. That old satanic man who worships himself. Because there's nothing more satanic than worshiping yourself. Because that's what the devil does. He worships himself. He really doesn't care if you worship him. As long as you don't worship God. As long as you worship yourself, he's fine with that. But that's what I'm constantly fighting against. So, knowing the will of God and what the will of God is in my life first comes from the fact of realizing my position Okay? And my position that I have to remember is, first off, this is only for believers. If you're a non-believer, all this goes out the window. Okay? You're not in God's will anyway. God's will for you is to be saved. Okay? Step one. Okay? But knowing my position in the world, the universe, and everything is, I am a servant of the kingdom. And somewhere down here, within the gazillions of people, I'm going to take this down even further. Because I'm waiting now, not even generations. You're ranking in the kingdom. My chalkboard isn't long enough, okay? But I'm down here. It would be foolish of me to even put myself up in here. There's other people up in there. Okay, I'm down here and I'm down. Realize my position in the kingdom. It's not that I'm unimportant. I am important enough to him that he died for me.
Absolutely.
Okay? I'm not saying that I'm not important, but I am important because he has made me important.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay? Once I get this, then determining God's will for my life really starts getting a little bit easier.
Yeah.
I start realizing is if I'm in obedience to him, then if I'm in Fort Payne, if I'm in India, if I'm in Africa, if I'm out in the middle of the ocean, if I die 10 minutes in, or I'm here at the end when he comes back, I'm within his will. And I'm where I'm supposed to be. So that no matter what the circumstance ends up in being, I can be secure in knowing that I am where he wants me to be.
Amen.
And that, well, we'll go further next week.
So
we're a part of the kingdom, not a servant.